All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Tim, we're fastly approaching May. Isn't that crazy? It's amazing how fast things go. It's a short little story. I just did something for my house build. I had to submit, you know, the address change because I took a chunk of my land and my property, and then I have two addresses on the property now. Anyways, you do that, and you have 90 days to submit it to the county just to kind of put a stamp on, and they say, okay, here it is. You're done. Well, I did it 90 days ago, and like 4 days ago, I felt prompted by somebody who said, hey, have you done that yet? And I was like, I got lots of time. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I look at the thing. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to do it by today. Today's the last, or tomorrow would be the last day. But it's just funny how time flies. You ever get that feeling, Tim, where you wake up and you go, man, 41 years old, what have I done with my life? I'm a failure. Have you ever felt that way?
No, never, never. Oh, everything's right on track. I'm right on schedule. Actually, I had another little deadline myself. I just renewed my lease down here in my apartment, which is good. And it's like, it doesn't end till the end of June. So it's like early bird special. I got a little discount for doing it by May 1st. So I'm extending, like, and they do longer leases down here. So I'm here till next fall, 2025.
So, yeah, when are you going to come back to Michigan? Well, you're going to get married and stuff and figure out where you're going to land. So.
Well, I will say it'd be nice not to move, because I moved from Traverse then down here, and then I moved while I was down here to a different apartment. So it'd be nice to just renew a lease for a change.
Yeah,
the first time in like 3 or 4 years, and just dig into my space a little bit.
Have you ever thought, serious question, about buying?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Why haven't you ever pulled the trigger? Just you don't know where you want to settle down?
Well, I almost bought in Traverse, but then I ended up leaving. But the prices, Traverse wasn't hit quite as bad as some other areas like New England, for example, in terms of like those just crazy cash in hand, 20% above asking, all that stuff. And I was looking at that, and then I moved instead, and I don't know where I'd settle down yet. So,
okay. Just asking. Because, yeah, you spent, like, did you ever want to, if you ever want to depress yourself, just tally up the amount you spent in rent.
Are you asking because that second address on your property is for me? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's a short-term rental. That thing, oh, if you're in the short-term rental game here in Traverse City, you know those things is print money. So that's as soon as I get out of that. Oh, baby. So if you want to give me $1,000 a week, we can make it work. And that's a deal for short-term rentals. That's a deal. A week, Tim. And that's a discount.
Is there a promo code for a discount? 20% off? Dropping the gloves?
Promo code. Only available in Canada, though, which makes it hard because it's Michigan. So it's going to be interesting. But anyways, did you have a good weekend, Tim, you and your girlfriend?
It was good. Yeah, obviously, I watched a lot of hockey. Coming down with something, a little under the weather. I think it's just the cold. Little low energy, but I'll battle through. It's not about me.
Mono, you know what I mean? Kissing disease. Ooh.
How many cups of coffee have you had today?
Just one, but I had a big one. It's funny. Very funny stuff. Well, I had a good weekend. I went to, not that you care, but I'll tell you, I had a nice alumni game down in Detroit, Michigan. The Rangers alumni played the Detroit Red Wings alumni. It was a lot of fun. A lot of familiar faces, guys I haven't seen in a long time, kind of chopping it up a little bit. Chris Nyland, Brian Skrudland, Sergio Momesso, the older crew. I got to meet some young guys. Patrick Eves, Danny DeKeyser was there, Matt Hunwick. So Darian Hatcher. you know, Darren McCarty, those types of players, Dino Cicerelli. It was a lot of fun. It was a good time. And Tim, let me just, before you ask, I did not embarrass the show. I went out there, tell you what, I lit it up. Absolutely lit it up. I was going bar down. I was feeding guys backdoor tap-ins. I was playing. I played great. It was a lot of fun. I played with Brian Scrudlin and some guy whose last name was Dubois. Both of them in their 60s. We were our best line. We lost 9-7. My line was +5. I'll just say that. I'm just going to throw it out there with the power play goal. I'm serious. I played fantastic. It was a lot of fun. Good times were had by y'all. But yeah, bar down. Not even kidding you. It was legit good. People were like,
"Who's the goalie?"
Oh, for the Red Wings, I don't know. Some old guy. He must have been like 75. Ed Mio or something. He was old, very old. But
good turnout for the fans too. A lot of people come.
Yeah, the big deal was Vladimir Konstantinov was there. So huge. That's pretty much the reason they did it, was to kind of incorporate him, and then kids who have lost limbs and sledge hockey. It was a lot of fun, but he showed up and he was on the ice, and it was a kind of emotional, but kind of neat to see him. The guy was like one of the first Russians ever to come over the USSR at the time, part of the Big Five for the Red Wings, won their Stanley Cup. I think it was 97, 98, the first one. Then he obviously got in the car accident. He got paralyzed. I think the physical therapist died. Just a terrible, terrible accident, I think, less than a week after they won the cup. So he looked good. He was out there. You know, he's getting pushed around, obviously, but he looked good. And it was a good event. Yeah. Nice little Saturday. And then, of course, we watched hockey. And you know what's great about hockey, Tim? Is there's some just constants in life. You ever feel that way? It's like, this has to happen. You know, and then in life in general, there's death, everybody dies, taxes, everybody pays taxes. And in hockey, the constant is the Toronto Maple Leafs blow it in the playoffs in the first round or the second round. And they suck. And they just completely disappoint everybody in Canada and Southern Ontario as a whole. So those are the three constants, death, taxes, and the Leafs just choke. And it happened again this weekend. Going into game four, the Toronto Maple Leafs looking to bounce back from a game three where they played pretty well. You know, in a lot of people's eyes, their best game of the series, parlay that into a win in game four. Didn't happen. The Toronto Maple Leafs came out just lifeless, lackluster effort. Not a lot of jam in that peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know what I mean? It was just par for the course for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I haven't beaten this drum for years, and I feel like everybody's starting to jump on the bandwagon of dropping the gloves. The Leafs suck in the playoffs. They're a regular season team. These aren't the guys to win anything. I've been saying it for years, Tim. So have you. Matthews, Marner, Nylander, they don't got it. And they proved it in game four versus the Boston Bruins in so many different ways. And it's so fun to see the cracks showing in the facade that they put on every single year. Oh, we lost, but it wasn't our year. Oh, you know, we did our best with this, with that. There's always an excuse. Cracks are starting to show. The friendships are getting fractured. And it's so great to see the infighting between the guys on the bench. Sheldon Keefe not having a clue what to do on or off the ice. The Boston Bruins just making breakfast in the kitchen, lunch and dinner. They are in the Leafs' heads so often. Oh, they're dirty. Oh, they're taking the liberties with their players. We got to call more penalties. They're mean players. It's like, are you joking me? They're spending so much time on that, not focusing on the fact that they're a terrible hockey team. Absolutely just dysfunctional. They don't work hard. They don't do anything right. They're very talented. Just put that out there. There's no, you know, ifs, ands, or buts about the talent level of this team. But if you don't work hard, if you don't do the right things, and you're talented, you're still a crappy team. And that's what the Leafs are at this point. They're a very talented team. Bunch of individuals. That's it. Individuals, talent, team, no talent. Equals first-round exit coming up soon. They might win another game. We'll see. But they are not making the second round, Tim. What did you think of game four? I know I've just wax poetically, but what did you think? Because you're a Bruins guy.
I loved it. What is it? Is it Mike Tyson who said everyone has a plan till they get punched in the face? Yeah. That's what it was like for Toronto. And I was watching, obviously, the whole game. And I actually thought they came out pretty good for stretches in the first and the beginning of the second period, where the pace was really good. Both teams were playing tight hockey. It was a good playoff game. obviously the bad turnover on that first goal for
Revo.
JBR. Yeah. Yeah, great pinch by the rookie Mason Lowry there. But it was a close game from most of the early stretches of it. And Boston was just a shot better, a step better, just a little bit better. But it wasn't like what it turned out to be. And then the second period comes around. It's 2-0. And then just that late goal with less than a minute or so left in the third.
Yeah.
With Marchand and 2-0 with Pastrnak. And then the crowd starts booing. The Boo Birds came out. And you know that this is when you get punched in the face. The plan disappears. You start pointing fingers. You start chasing. You start thinking about yourself. And it just showed, like, all the clips that are going around of Marner and Nylander. There's a great clip where Nylander was behind the Bruins, or his own net, little scrum behind the net, and Jesper Boqvist kind of shoves him, and Nylander just looks at him and stands, and he steps away like he's expecting a call, or maybe he's not right. He's got the injury in the head probably, where he's like, I can't engage with that just for my own protection. But the puck's going the other way at that point. You know what I mean? They just don't have an answer for it. Brad Marchand has 8 points in the series. That's more than Matthews and Marner and Tavares, although Nylander in there, combined. Not each, combined. And just, it's beautiful. I was watching the game, reading Twitter, just refreshing my feed, even after the game, before I went to bed. Biggest smile on my face. I couldn't get enough. I'm like, okay, well, who else has to say something? Here's a tweet from Biz. Here's a video from Jay Rosehill. Here's even the Leafs fans imploding and talking about their offseason plans. I absolutely loved it. Couldn't get enough of it.
The biggest takeaway from me and why this team has no chance of winning is between period second and third, they start the period and it's Marner, Domi, and Bertuzzi. It's like, are they benching Matthews? Second line comes out. It's Tavares, Nylander, somebody else. Third line comes out, no Matthews. Fourth line comes out, no Matthews. He didn't come out for the third period because he's sick. And now I don't know the ins, ands, or buts about sickness and this and that, but it seemed to me he played fairly well the first two periods. He was out there. So I don't know what happened, but to me, I'm a hockey player. I've played for many years. In my eyes, do you want your best player just to pull the shoot mid-game when things aren't going well? Because my question is, if they're up 3-0 and he's got two goals, he's out there for the third period, right? Like he's showing up on that bench. He wants that hat trick. He wants to enjoy the win. They're down 3-0. Things aren't going so hot. I'm not coming out for the third. I don't feel good. My tummy hurts. I don't feel like it. I'm not 100%. Is that the type of player that you want leading your team? Is that the type of player that you want to invest in long term? Tim, I've said it for years. Everybody, oh, you don't know anything. You're a stupid goon. This guy doesn't have what it takes to win. You watch how he acts, his mannerisms, just how he carries himself. I'm not following that guy in a battle. Are you kidding me? He improved a little bit this year. He had a good defensive year. His D-zone coverage was good. Name one captain that's left in the NHL. And I know he's not the captain, but he's the face of the team. Name one guy who's the face of the team that you would take. Now you take Matthews over them. Basically, every other team is Marchand. No, you're not taking him. There's Kucherov. You're taking Kucherov. Even in New York, you got Fox. You're taking Fox. Panarin, I'm taking Panarin. Every team has someone that I would rely on more than Austin Matthews. This guy, to me, is just more concerned about his persona, his looks, his reputation, his goals, than he is about actually winning hockey games. Doesn't that seem to you? And it just boiled down between the second and third period when you had the opportunity to say, you know what, I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to lay it all out there. If I barf on the bench, if I pass out, so be it. I want this team to win. We're down by 3 goals on the best goal scorer in the league right now. But he goes, no, I don't feel good. I'm going to sit this one out. You guys, good luck. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. The comparison was going around on Saturday night of what Bergeron played through in 2019 in Game 7, where it was separated shoulder, broken rib, punctured lung, torn cartilage, like all this stuff. And he went to play, and Matthews can't play through a sickness. Now, a sickness is a vague word. It could mean a lot of things. For all we know, he was debilitating. He was stuff coming out of both ends. He couldn't do anything. And no one can play through that. I don't care who you are. It's just not possible. So I understand that. But like that comparison is fair, right? The guys that play through stuff, you've been in the room. You've seen guys take a shot of this or that and go out there, deep breath, and you just do it. And It's tough. And the quote from Keith talking about Matthews is sickness. He said, for whatever reason, it's not one of those run-of-the-mill, everyday type of illnesses that sort of come and go. This one has lingered. The effects have lingered and gotten worse when he gets on the ice and is asserting himself. So, I don't know. I think your point is fair. If
he
you're
looked
winning,
fine for the first two periods. Go out for the power plays.
He's back out, too.
Oh, 100%. If they're winning, he's there.
And the other I want to talk about the clip. We kind of skimmed over it. The arguments, the infighting. This little clip that was going around on the bench of Matthews, Marner, and Nylander. I don't remember exactly what point it was in the game, but obviously in the second because Matthews was there. And I think it was either after the second or third Bruins goal. And Matthews and Marner just yelling and yapping at each other. And Bertuzzi's between them. We're going to come back to him in a second. I want to know what's going through his head. And then it shows over to Nylander, who's right on the other side of Marner. And he goes, stop effing crying, bro. This isn't junior hockey. And you know that these guys are just sick of each other. And everyone right now, we can be critical of Matthews, but Marner's the whipping boy. Even the diehard Leafs fans are done with him. He's getting called out on the broadcast. Everything is just the lack of effort in game one, that play we talked about where he avoided McAvoy in the corner. He had a beautiful goal. That one goal that he scored was
slick,
really
yeah.
good. Is really good. And that's not good enough in the playoffs. It's good enough to get 100 points in the regular season, but it does close to nothing for you in the postseason. So yeah, I love that clip.
Well, it goes to show, and I don't want to link this to kids and not having a work ethic and going through adversity, but everything lines up here. These guys have had everything handed to them on a silver platter, and all of a sudden they have a little adversity and they just turn on each other. Absolutely turn on each other, just start pointing fingers. It's your fault. What are you doing? Give me the puck, this and that. That's exactly what's going on here. And I've been on Stanley Cup teams. I've been on guys who have won multiple cups. This happens on teams. You yell at each other. You get mad at each other because it's a competitive game. You're upset. What doesn't happen is the after effects of just the eye rolling, the looking away, the throwing of the gloves. Just like it's like they hate each other. It's because they're not in it as a team. They're mad that their individual stats aren't being padded and they're not succeeding. That's what it is to me. They care more about the name on the back. I know it's a cliche, but they do. They don't care if they win as a team. They really don't. And it just shows it in that clip right there. Austin Matthews is upset at Marner. Marner can't take it. Nylander hates them both. And Bertuzzi's checked out.
Bertuzzi's gone this summer. He wants no part of this.
Yeah, he's like, I'm glad I signed a 1 year. 100%. I am gone. You know who else is gone? Ilya Samsonov. So he gives up that first goal. Terrible goal. JVR is a good player. He ain't that good. Did you see the size of that five hole?
Yeah, yeah.
Could have drove a Mack truck through it. Like, I don't know how you're taught as a goaltender to go east to west. I don't think a goalie coach tells you to just splits and stand up so your five hole's massive like that when you're pushing across. That was terrible, terrible goaltending by Ilya Samsonov. So he gets pulled to start the third. Joseph Woll comes in, does a good job, you know, holds the fort down, does everything he can. That will be the last time you see Ilya Samsonov in a Leafs jersey.
100%. He's done?
Gone. Yeah. I don't think he wears a Leafs jersey on the ice again. I think he obviously is a backup next game. But Joseph Woll's should get the start, and he's done. There's no way to come back from that. He lets up the soft goal in game three, plays average in game four. That's it. I think he's gone. Ideally, Sheldon Keefe's gone as well, but this team is dysfunctional, Tim. There's a lot of changes that need to be done, and we can't break it down right here because we have other stuff to talk about, but boy, oh boy, it's not good.
I do want to just touch on Keith before we move on, because he's also like him and Marner are the two main people that people are pointing their fingers at. And Keith is not doing himself any favors. The post game presser, let's go back up a little bit. John Cooper, after Tampa lost its third game, it was down 3-0 in the series, and he called out his guys to the press. This is a guy who's been to 3 Stanley Cups, won 2 of them. It's the same core that was there for all of them that he's calling out. And he said, if you're not going to believe, you don't have to come, meaning either buy in or don't show up. I don't want this half-assed stuff. That's what a coach says. That's what a good coach says. Mm-hmm. Now, being 3-1 in the series, losing both games at home, guys yelling at each other. And Keith said, nothing wrong with our effort level here tonight. Guys are competing. Guys are trying. It's a good team over there. It's limiting us. You can question a lot of things. Can't question the effort. Can you get more tone deaf? You know what I mean? Is he a moron or is he dishonest or both? It's crazy that this he would say something like that.
He's not good at the press conferences. I don't know what's going on. He really misses the mark a lot of the times. And right here, it's completely off the mark. If John Cooper nails it, obviously, that's the cookie cutter answer. It's like, if you don't want to show up and compete, don't bother coming to the rink. Okay, yeah, I get it. You're a hard ass. Everyone's showing up. So that's goes without saying. And then Keith just, like, does he have a backbone? Does he have a spine? Or is he worried about his job for next year? And he doesn't want to critique the top guys because he knows his series is done. And if he just starts throwing daggers at Matthews and Marner, in the offseason you have your exit interviews, they're going to say, we don't like this guy anymore. We want him gone. And who holds the power in that team? It's those guys. So I think he is playing a little bit of both sides where he wants to win, yes, but he wants to coach next year for the Leafs. So he's trying to hedge his bet and say, well, you know, you guys did good. It wasn't your fault. You know, there's Boston's a good team, just like Pete DeBoer did with the Dallas Stars last week, where he said, oh, Vegas, no one beat them last year. We're not, you know, we're doing our best. What do you guys want us to do? They're pretty darn good over there. We're trying, you guys. Trust me. Did you see us? We're trying our hardest. And if you can honestly look in the mirror and say, our guys are competing, our guys are trying, and mean it, then maybe he's just not good at evaluating games. Because that's furthest thing from the truth. If you watch that game, any reasonable person who knows hockey knows that the Bruins outworked the Leafs that game. And they have every game this series. So I just don't know how he gets off saying that. I think it's a self-preservation move where he knows he's on the chopping block and he's trying his best to make good with those guys. So I know. And he just signed an extension to him. So he's there. He's locked in. But they print money in Toronto. They don't care who they're paying. I think they're still paying Babcock.
They are.
So like, yeah. It's not a huge deal for them to fire him. That's the norm. They could care less if he signed for 5 more years. So the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's so fun to watch, but it's so frustrating to talk about because the solution's attainable. You just they never do the smart thing. They really never do. I was last night, I thought I was going to do a Toronto hit piece today, like with not a hit piece, an interview with the Fan 590, but I responded too late. But as I was, you know, prepping, I was going over the list of players they've gotten, you know, at free agency and this and that. And they've gone out and they've gotten, Tim, dozens of players over the years since Lou Lamoriello. And it's funny to go back and look at Lou Lamoriello's moves when he was there. 2 years with the Leafs. Well, I only went back to 2016. He brought in Brian Boyle 1 year and Thomas Plekanec the other year. That's it. That's the only moves he made. The guy just hates trading. But then Dubas comes in 2018, gets Jake Muzzin, fantastic trade. He gets injured, doesn't really work out. He gets Nick Patan also. Jack Campbell the year after, pretty good trade. Kyle Clifford brings in Nick Foligno, David Riddick. And this is all at the deadline. These are all deadline trades. The next year, Ilya Labushkin, Ryan Dezingle, Travis Dermott, Giordano, Colin Blackwell. Huge deadline. Brought in some grit, some sandpaper, shutdown defenseman on the back end. Everybody thought that was fantastic. Didn't really work out last year. Bring in Jake McCabe, Sam Lafferty, Ryan O'Reilly, Noel Chari. This year, bringing in Joel Edmondson. They're trying to bring in guys. And at what point, if you're Kyle Dubas, if you're Brad Treveilin, if you're Lou Lamoriello, you shuffle the third and fourth lines. This is, I think, the fourth or fifth iteration of guys in the third and fourth line, third and fourth or second and third D pairings, and you still have the same result. At what point do you go, it's the top line? It's the first two lines.
And if any of the guys they brought in wanted to stay, did Ryan O'Reilly say, hey, you know what? Bring my next contract here. Is right. Bertuzzi going to stay? Like all those other guys, they're one and done. I know some of them got traded or didn't get brought back, whatever. But many others have had opportunities to be part of this, and they haven't been. So
it'll be interesting with Bertuzzi to see what he does. Because there's other guys they brought in, like Thornton, Marlowe, Reeves, Simmons, like a lot of other guys. Spezza. Yeah. So it's interesting. At what point? Is it this offseason that they finally say, we have to break up the group? And I know Tavares is leaving, so that'll mix something up. But he still has one more year on his contract for $11 million. Like, when do you say enough is enough?
I've started thinking about off-season checklists. We're going to have to do an episode on that when they get eliminated, which will probably be, if not tomorrow night, then Thursday. And just think about what needs to happen. Because it's an if, when, not if question at this point.
Well, Marner's up next year, too. He's in his last year of his deal. And he's going to want $12, $13 million. You trade him. And I thought he was the best out of all three of them. If I was going to build a team, I would have picked him. But you can't keep re-signing these guys. Willie's locked up long-term. Matthews is locked up long-term. And you want to re-sign Marner? Trade him. Get some defense. Like get rid of him. You can't keep doing this to this team. And this, it would be fun if they did. But anyways, anything else on this team?
The only other thing I wanted to mention was just the fact that, and this is the eighth year of the Matthews, Marner, core, and I think it's the seventh straight year they've been in the playoffs. At no point in any of the series that they've ever played have they had a better goalie than their opponent. Not once ever. And you go back and look at the matchups, it's like they just never had a great goalie. And it started with Freddie Anderson, then Jack Campbell, and then, Samsonov and a couple other guys that just squeezed in between. Is that a fair argument in their defense where it's like, okay, Matthews can score a bunch of goals. Nylander did great in the playoffs that one year. Like, is it not their fault to some degree when you look at not just this year, but the bulk of work, the fact that they've never addressed the goalie problem?
Well, do you want them to go out and spend $7 million on a goalie? They don't have the money.
Yeah.
Casualties of war. Like, and when Dubas came in, he was an analytics guy. He was a burner type guy. He wanted a fast team. He wanted to get up and down the ice. So he got his guys, and that's kind of how he ran his team, which is so funny. He gets these guys, and then you don't have defensemen who can keep up with them. I never understood that either. You have Morgan Rielly. He's good. He's not the most offensive defenseman out there by any means. I never understood his reasoning. You have these top guys who want to run and gun, but then you fill out the back end with Morgan Rielly. And don't get me wrong, Morgan Riley's good. But he's not an offensively gifted defenseman. And you fill it out with Jake McCabe and Liljegren and Edmondson and Giordano and Lyubushkin and Benoit and TJ Brody. Which one of those guys would you want joining the rush? None of them. Absolutely none of them. Why not? You invest so much in your offensive power up front. Do it on the back end. Right? Go out and get a puck-moving defenseman. I don't care if it's Anthony DeLangelo. Somebody who can keep up with these guys, who can make a good outlet pass and then jump up in the rush. How often do you see a Toronto Maple Leafs game when it's a 4-on-2, a 4-on-3, the fourth man coming in the rush? Absolutely never. Watch a Colorado game. Watch a Nashville game. Watch a Tampa Bay Lightning game. Consistently, you see defensemen coming in late, coming in first, driving the net. That's one thing that's massively missing with Toronto, is just defensemen jumping in the rush. And I don't care which GM, they really missed the mark on that one. They just loaded up on the back end with Hainsey and Bogosian and all these big tough guys. And it's like, you guys, this is a different game. You can't do that. You can have a couple guys, maybe the 5-6. Your top four have to be puck moving, fleet footed defensemen who can jump up in the rush and be a threat. I don't even think Morgan Riley's that much of a threat. The guy ain't fast. He's got good instincts. He's got good hands. He's not going to bust past anybody. You know what I mean? Like, go bring in an Erik Karlsson. Go see if that works out. Like, he would be great on this team. What do I know?
How about Marner for Karlsson? Give Karlsson a winger.
Dubas, you have familiarity with the GM in Pittsburgh. Now that would be a trade for the ages. Oh my gosh. That's really funny. But I don't know. They have a lot of questions to answer in Toronto, which is bizarre because they finished what, fifth in the league, fourth in the league in total points. All right, Tim, let's do it. Bet365, go for it.
Well, we announced this on Friday. I'll tell you guys again, Bet365 is the official sports betting partner of Dropping the Gloves, and perfect timing with 2024 playoffs in full swing. We'll be here every week to provide Bet365 all the news, analysis, lines, and betting options for the playoffs until there's just one team remaining. Bet365 is the largest sports betting platform globally. Open an account with Bet365 today. Use promo code HOCKEYCA, all caps, to bet on a huge range of markets. So whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. And I thought it'd be a fun discussion to talk about the four or five series that are down to 3-1. And let's use a little bit of sports picks here through Bet365 to talk about whether these series are over or whether we're going to see game 6 and 7.
Let's do it. Which one do you want to start with here?
Let's start at the very top. This is a quick one, I think. I went 3-for-4 on my picks on Saturday. This is the one that I got wrong. I thought Carolina was going to sweep the Islanders. They didn't. The Islanders showed up. They had a good game 4, won in overtime. Do you think this one is going to be over in game 5 going back to Raleigh, or do we see this extend further?
I think it's over. It was a nice win. What was it, a double overtime win with the New York Islanders? I think Carolina closes it out right here at home. which is nice. You know, get the fans excited. The Hurricanes are just good. They're a very good hockey team. Islanders, it was a good run. At least they got a win. That's more that can be said about other teams. But Carolina is just too strong. They're a juggernaut. What do you think?
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Okay. I don't think it'll even be close. I mean, 4-1, maybe.
No, I think it'll be close from that. Islanders are like Varlamov stepped in. He's been playing really well. Sorokin faltered, so he played lights out last game. 42 saves, I want to say, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with Sorokin. Don't get it.
Those Russians, they're always confusing. I don't understand it either. But this Russian's good. Varlamov, I like him. So they're a veteran team. I don't think they're going to go down, you know, with a whimper. It'll be a good game, but Carolina's just they're better. What can you say? You got to tip your hat to them. Tampa Bay Lightning down 3-1 in the Florida Panthers. They answered. They won game 4 at home, which we thought they would. We thought they'd win both games, but they picked up one. They're moving back to Florida Panthers. What do you think? Any chance of Tampa Bay extending the series, Tim?
I do think there is. I think Tampa wins game 5 tonight. Or is it tonight? Yes, tonight.
Tonight.
Bergachev came back, which I thought was kind of crazy. He was not expected
returned. I think you were looking for return.
Yeah. He broke his fibula not that long ago. I saw a little tweet that they showed him while he was in rehab and working out clips of Stamkos doing the same thing a couple of years ago. And he came back and that inspired him, which is just, that's what a leader does. Pretty neat.
So it's the tibia fibula. Which one is which? Is the tibia the shin bone?
Yeah.
And the fibula is the one behind it?
Yep.
Okay, so maybe not that important.
Well, it's still painful. Yeah.
Out of the three bones in your leg, though, that's probably the one that maybe isn't as important.
It is, yeah. No, you're right. It's not as important.
I remember I played with Curtis Foster in Minnesota when he broke his femur.
That's the worst. That's, I can't even think about that.
Biggest bone in your body. And it was a spiral fracture. Oh, the scar on his leg. I tell you what, and we would work out in the summer. His other leg was massive, like massive compared to his injured leg. But he came back. Boy, oh boy. Talk about a recovery. And talk about the hardest shot from a guy I've ever played with. Him and a guy in the AHL named John Awe. Those two guys, when they would miss the net, it would just be boom. Like you would feel it in the boards. It was incredible. They never really hit the net. But when they did, oh, the poor goalie. My goodness. So anyways, you think Tampa Bay is going to win game 5?
I do. Yep.
I do too. I hope this one's go 7. I think that'd be fun. Florida's just pretty stinking good, but Tampa Bay, I think they hopefully have a little momentum. I'm going to stick with you, Tim, which I usually don't do, but I'm going to go with you. Tampa Bay will win. All right. Nashville. They're down 3-1 to Vancouver. Should be 2-2. We talk about choke jobs and the Toronto Maple Leafs and this and that. This, by far the biggest choke job of the playoffs so far. You're up 3-1 with 3 minutes left. That's it. Game over. Lights out. You're at home. The house is rocking. The guys are feeling good. You have last change. Everything's good. We're gonna tee this up for 2-2. Go back to Vancouver with the momentum. Brock Besser said, "No way. Have you seen this face?" He said, "I'm gonna score 2 goals real quick with the empty net. 2 empty net goals from the Vancouver Canucks." What stings with this one with the Nashville Predators? Empty. They had an empty net, backhand, wide open net, hits the post. Oh, I don't know who it was.
I think it was Sissons.
Oh, Colton Sissons. I bet you he didn't sleep well that night. Wide open net. Nobody even defending it. Quinn Hughes, for some reason, was playing the pass. I don't understand that. When it's an empty net, you play the pass. But he just gave him the shot, and it was a good decision. Colton Sissons hits the post. They go down. Brock Besser gets the empty net goal. There was a photo of the shot came from JT Miller. And there was 3 Vancouver Canucks sitting in front of UC Saros, and no Nashville Predator guy was around. One was trying to block a shot. One fell down. And so it was legit. It was Zadorov, Brock Besser, and somebody else right in front of UC Saros. No Nashville Predators guys in the area. It was just an interesting picture. It was like that picture in Buffalo, and I was on the team. They were chasing a Toronto guy, and all 5 of them were perfectly lined up.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like a bobsled team. And I'm like, I was on that team. I'm like, you guys, what are we doing here? But anyways, so Nashville, unfortunately, down 3-1. Vancouver has the 3rd-string goalie in net, mind you. Casey DeSmith goes down at the end of the game, doesn't return for game 4. Thatcher Demko's already been out, ruled out for the playoffs. And this Artur Silvas, 10th NHL start, played fantastic. 30 saves, Some big saves too, mind you. Played really, really solid. Who do you think is winning game five in Vancouver? Tim, give it to me. Third string goalie.
Man, I really wanted this one for Nashville just because that was your best chance of making this a series, because you're facing the third goaltender. You're up by two goals. You get the empty net opportunities. You don't bury. So there's a great shot of Jeremy Lauzon just devastated on the bench. I think this series is over. I think that was the best chance of giving it a shot. I think we see this over tonight or tomorrow night when they play game five. A bet 365 pick is Vancouver is going to take this one.
Isn't it funny how life is it literally is a game of inches. Colton Sissons' shot is half an inch closer to the net. It's game over. It's game 4-2. The game is over. 2-2 series, and there's a good chance we win. It's amazing. Just that one sliver. Just think about that, everybody. When this show is over, I want you to just close your eyes and think about that. How important that one minuscule moment. Guys aren't going to get contracts for next year because of that. It could affect their livelihood. Guys are going to get opportunities from the minors because they didn't get past the first round. Just think about that. One split second, the touch of his wrist, if he wouldn't have gone that extra little bit, he'd be a hero.
Did you see the Zadorov hit on Roman Josi? I think it was in the first period. Go check it out later. Big body hit, and he was giving it to him after. It was a great, great play.
Zaddy's a stud, man. I like that guy. And good on him being out there, 6-on-5. Canucks threw him out there, and then he goes right to the front of the net. What a pimp. I like that guy. All right. Surprising one for me. Yep. LA Kings, Edmonton Oilers. Series tied 1-1 going back to LA. Edmonton just dominates game three. Absolutely asserts their dominance, and which was impressive. Because McDavid and Draisaitl didn't really score that many goals in game three. It was the secondary cast who picked up the scoring, the load, the Holloways, those types of players. Game four, 1-0. That's it. 1-0 game. And I said this during the Bleacher Report. Stuart Skinner is going to be their best player. Could be. He played lights out. Stewie gets a shutout. Fantastic game for him. The Edmonton Oilers. Good game for him, and I'll tell you why this is a big win for them. It proves they can win these types of games. Going back 3, 4, 5 years, if Edmonton had to win a playoff game, they had to score 4 or 5 goals. Try to go find a game where Edmonton won 1-0 in the recent past. Maybe, I know Mike Smith had a shutout a few years ago, but I think they put up 4 or 5 goals. Like this is a big win for them. Corey Perry said it after the game. He's like, it's good for this group to know that we can win these types of games. A defensive battle, buckle down, you get one power play goal, and then you just hold on to the end. So, big win for the Edmonton Oilers. Fast forward to tomorrow. They play game five. Do they close it out at home, Tim? Does LA have any hope?
No, I think they do. I think we see a classic Connor McDavid game. Three, four points. I think this one goes away. I do the scene. And I was surprised that we got here. I'm surprised that we're here. I thought we'd see six, seven games like we've seen in the past, but now that we are here, I do see the Edmonton closing us out in five.
I think LA will bounce back. Veteran team. My bet 365 pick is the LA Kings. Lock it in. Another 3-1 series. Man, like, where's the competitive series? What's going on? Winnipeg Jets are down 3-1 to the Colorado Avalanche. Connor Hellebuck, thankfully, was pulled after the second period after giving up another 4 goals. And I will say this. I'm agreeing with people out there saying it's not his fault. It's not his fault. I watched this game. I watched the game before. He's doing everything he can. He's not letting in bad goals. But at some point, you have to just change it up. Get a new guy out there. Maybe he plays his angles differently. Maybe he has a different sense on the game. Maybe he's just more confident. But for whatever reason, Hellebuck is not confident. The pucks are going by him. Get Brossoit out there. They finally did for the third period. He played okay. Who knows what's going to happen in game five? But game five is tomorrow as well. Or is it Wednesday? The schedule's all janky right now. The bigger question is, Tim, who's going to win game five? In Winnipeg, they're back at home.
Yeah, I got to say Colorado.
Oh, you're such a pessimist. Everybody's going to win 4-1 in your eyes.
They're just on another level. And you know, you can say it's not Hellebuck's fault, and maybe you're right. But at the end of the day, it's the reason that they're losing is less to do with how they're playing and more to do. They just don't have an answer for McKinnon and Makar. You know, like, they're just lights out. That goal Makar scored end to end was just incredible. How many guys in the league can do that?
Morgan Riley?
Yeah. Lyubushkin? So yeah, it's just it's a pretty special group, and I had Winnipeg winning this series. I was totally wrong about it. They were 3-0 in the regular season against this team, but some teams step it up in the postseason, and you know the Jets won't get lambasted the same way the Leafs do. But this is a pretty disappointing effort to be at this point in the series. So I think you start Poussois, but I don't see them winning Game 5.
Was there somebody who said that they should have traded Hellebuck in the offseason, and then they should have traded Scheifele? And they should have just regrouped and retooled because they had a lot of good pieces. I think that was us, right? We said that?
You did. I was not in on that.
Oh, I was. And don't look now. Connor Hellebuck, best goalie on the planet, is 30 years old. He's turning 31 next month, May 19th. He just signed a 7-year, $8.5 million contract that kicks in next year. So he will be 31 years old, making $8.5 million. When the contract ends, Tim, what's 7 plus 1? He'll be 38 years old, making $8.5 million.
Can I also just add, everyone's talking about who plays goalie for Team USA in the Olympics, and it came down to four. One of them is the odd man out in terms of the squad. Hellebuck, Swayman, Ottinger, and Demko. Maybe Ottinger's the odd man out, but each of them has been the best, better than the others at different points in the last couple of years. Look at him now. Ottinger's not playing great. Hellebuck's not playing great. And it matters because of when the stage is the biggest. Demko injured, not his fault. But Swayman is playing. He's the best. His save percentage is like 965 or something right now. It's crazy.
We knew it when we had him on the show. You knew it, Tim. You said, this guy's special. Keep an eye on him. Allmark's going to be gone. I said, you're crazy. But look at him now. He's a stud. And he did play game four. He played pretty good. All right, should we talk about the one series that's over?
Yeah. Surprise. No, I will. It's not a surprise. There's just not a whole lot of exciting and positive stuff you can take away from this. Because even the Rangers, I don't think, are absolutely thrilled with the way that they played either.
They played okay. Lackluster, yeah.
Panarin, you saw some good things from. You didn't see a whole ton from Lafreniere and Zibanejad and some of the other guys. But you didn't need to because you played the Washington Capitals, who scrambled and scrounged and saved up every little bit and invested every little dollar they had just to make the playoffs and had nothing left in the tank when the time came. So really,
let me say this. I will give props to their coach. Was it Carberry?
Carberry, yeah.
I'll give props to Carberry. He benched Ovechkin for game four, didn't dress him. So I'll give him props. He wasn't playing well, and he had the chutzpah to do that because not a lot of coaches could do that, to say, you know what? You don't got him, my man. We're not playing you game four. So we went without him, and they played okay. They put up a good valiant effort. 3-2, I think the final score was. They kept coming back, you know, tying goals, and they almost made it work, but the Rangers were just too good, Tim. It is what it is. So they're moving on. Washington needs to find a way to retool. But yeah, I agree with you. The Rangers probably can't be happy with that four-game series. A lot of issues there that they have some time now to iron out.
This is the first time in his whole career that Ovechkin didn't get a point in a playoff series. And I think in games 1, 2, and 4, he had 3 shots total, like something like that. Like, it's crazy. Or
game
3.
Four.
Yeah.
He didn't play game 4.
You sure?
Pretty sure. I didn't see him.
Yeah, you must have not been looking at either the bench or just to the right face-off.
Are you telling me he played game 4?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow. So he dressed. He was there.
Did, if you want to call it that. Yeah, I mean, again, he's 38 years old. And Carberry even said he wasn't good enough in the series, but he also said he was the main reason that we got here. And when we got here...
Oh, sheepers. No, he wasn't.
Left in the tank. He said that after game 2 or 3. He said, yeah, he was the one that carried us through the final 12 or 20 games to get here, and he had nothing left when it started.
Lindgren and Strom were the guys who got you there. That's, by the way, did you know Charlie Lindgren's brother was Ryan Lindgren?
I didn't until this playoff started. I did not know.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
But anyways, another stat I just want to talk about, Ovi. Imagine playing 12 minutes of power play in one game.
No.
12 minutes. I never played 12 minutes a game, period. This guy gets it on the power play and doesn't even get a shot in game 3. Isn't that just crazy? But he'll be there next year. He'll be there. We got to get him the record. That's all that matters. Who cares about playoffs? Who cares about team success? Who cares about building this team for the future? all we're focused on is getting this guy the stupid record. That's it. You think Wayne Gretzky would want that in his final years? Guys, I just want to extend this record. Just give me the puck. It's very important. It's so dumb. It's so incredibly dumb that they're doing this. You next year, how many goals is he behind? How many goals does he need? Like 40-something?
41, something like that, yeah.
After watching these last four games, how many does he get next year?
But don't you think he has another, like, 12 goals in 10 game stretch? Because we thought that, and then he
I know. He does. Wrong, yeah, you know? He does. I think he takes steroids. And he just took them before that little stretch. I'm joking. I don't think he does. All right, moving on. There's two games tonight, Tim. Let's do some picks. Who are you taking? Florida, Tampa Bay, Dallas, Vegas. I think you already told us you think Tampa Bay is going to win.
Yep.
And then Dallas, Vegas, big game, 2-1 in Vegas.
This is only game four. I'm going to go with Dallas again.
Ooh.
Yeah. I have this team in the finals. This is the team that needs to win if they can get by Vegas. Logan Thompson is playing absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
I think Ottinger called me, said he looks like Hasek out there. And Vegas obviously is stacked in front of him too. So it won't be an easy game, but I do like Dallas to tie up a series.
Yeah, I could see it going either way, but it's tough to beat Vegas twice in a row at home. That's a tough one, but they have had two days between games. So that helps the Dallas Stars. Yeah, I'm going to go Dallas as well.
I think the Stars are just due for like an offensive explosion game. They're due for a 3-point night from Robertson or Hintz or Duchesne. Yeah. Like someone's got to just, they haven't done anything.
Pav's been pretty quiet. The whole team has been fairly quiet. So I agree. I agree. I think Dallas will win this and it'll be a best of three series. I want a series to be 2-2. There hasn't been one yet. Everything's been 3-1 or 3-rip. So this is the one series that we can have hope for. Maybe this one will go seven. A first round, everybody that we thought was going to be so exciting. Parity in the league, epic matchups, top to bottom, maybe a couple one-sided things that we saw with the Rangers and the Capitals. Other than that, it was going to be a lot of fun. It's been a stinker. It's been an absolute disappointment. And I just want one series to go seven. This is our last hope. This is our last hope. All right, everybody. Thanks for sticking around with us. We appreciate the support. Anything else, Tim?
No. We'll catch you guys on Wednesday.
Did you get another haircut?
No. Well, like 2 weeks ago.
Looking a little tight on the sides. I like it. All right. We'll talk to everybody on Wednesday. Thanks for being around. Thanks for listening. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.